This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant every one of us goodness, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus through His mercy. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the ameen of every one of us. Ameen. My brothers and sisters, the divine rights, as we see, is the theme of the Straight Path Convention this year. And I've been tasked with the first talk to introduce the entire topic and to ensure that we understand that as human beings, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, He definitely created us for a purpose. A believer believes that there is a reason why he was created or she was created. And this is the difference between those who believe and those who don't. There are those who say that we were just created, or we were made, or we came into existence by nature. And then there are those who believe that there was a supreme deity who brought us into existence, whom we shall return to, and those are us. Which means we are the believers. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the maker, the creator, the nourisher, the cherisher, the sustainer, has created us for a purpose, surely He would have told us why He made us. And He would require from us, having given us the ability to understand, having given us a mind and a brain, having given us a posture better than all other creatures of His, He would have actually expected from us that we look into the reasons why we are here. We watch, we listen, we read, we find out, we ask, until we are satisfied that we've finally understood why we are here. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us in revelation and through revelation, because from the very beginning, when He created Adam alayhi salam, He made it very clear that the purpose of creation of this man would be that he comes onto the earth and he is tested. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. It is He who created death and life in order to test you. So that's the purpose. In order to test you, He created death and life. The second verse of Suratul Mulk, that's the verse. And He says, in order to test you, who from amongst you has better deeds? So we are in direct competition with each other in a certain way. Although we are not doing it for one another, we're doing it for the sake of Allah. But Allah says regarding paradise, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Those who would like to compete with one another should actually compete regarding paradise and the ranks in paradise and the goodness of paradise. This is why when you see the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when they were told that you are from amongst those who will be in paradise, you are from among those who will be in paradise, there were so many of them who were told this. I'm sure a lot of us would know of a terminology, Ashara al-Mubashara, or Al-Ashara al-Mubashareena bil-Jannah, the 10 who were given good news of paradise. In one phrase of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when they knew that they were going to be in paradise, guess what that made them do? It made them become more steadfast. It made them become closer to Allah. It made them engage in more acts of worship. Aisha radiallahu anha asks Muhammad, peace be upon him, O Messenger, you are standing at night, your feet are swelling because you are standing in prayer, yet you know that you are going to be in Jannah. The best of creation, the most noble of prophets, you know that Allah has cleansed you completely. You know what he says? أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. He says, should I not be a thankful worshipper? You know, if your mom or your dad tells you, you know, I love you, you're the best, you need to live up to the best. You need to live up to it. So if my mom tells me, you're the best, At least I know that I can smile and I can be polite and I can go out of my way to help her and to reach out to her in whatever way, because she really believes I'm the best. That example is far lower than the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when Allah tells you something, it doesn't change. When your mom tells you, I love you, tomorrow she might say, hey, the love has decreased. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't happen. But a winner is he or she who understands and realizes this to the degree that it makes them stronger. And this is what happened to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They understood the plan of Allah. They understood there is a Jannah, there is a heaven. We have to work towards it. Even if we are told, you are from heaven, it must make us even stronger. So, as human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning has created us, and He's told us that the reason of this creation is to test you who from amongst you has better deeds. Better meaning you can have good deeds, you can have good deeds, you can have good deeds. This is why Jannah has ranks. It's not just one single place. It has ranks. Because those who worked harder deserve a higher rank. Those who did something grand, much more than the others, deserve a higher rank, even though you will be in Jannah. And in all honesty, no matter where you are in Jannah, it is worth it. Because it is definitely the mercy of Allah that will take you and I into Jannah. May Allah take us into paradise. Ameen. So, what is very interesting is immediately after Allah says that, He says something powerful. He caps the verse in a lovely way. And this happens all the time in the Quran, where the cap of the verse, the ending of the verse, is always very, very divinely chosen. Where Allah says, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Indeed, He, referring to Allah, is Al-Aziz. He is all-powerful. Al-Aziz. He has the power, the might, but He is all-forgiving. Why connect the two? Simple explanation is, to forgive is not always a grand quality. What that means is, if you do not have any option but to forgive, and you forgive, possibly there might be a slight blemish in your sincerity, because you had no option. I mean, I've always given the example of our brother Mike Tyson. If he were to come here and punch someone, you know, and what would you do? Subhanallah, you know. Okay, some people might answer differently, but this is just by way of example. You know, you might look at him and say, Jazakallah khair, you know, thank you so much. Because if you're going to go and punch him back again, you're going to get about 10 and you'll be on the ground. So sometimes the way you responded, you had no option. You had to respond that way. You had no option. So it might not be merit, because in your heart you might be burning to say, no way, if I could, I'd have punched this guy back. But when you know, if you punched him and he tells you, it's okay, it's okay, then it's a big deal, because you know he can sort you out. He can fix you and put you where you belong. But he didn't. So with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is actually telling us that I can punish you. I am all capable. I am all powerful. But guess what? I'm most forgiving. I'll forgive you. Subhanallah. Look at the power. These two are, one would think that they are opposites, because I'm saying I am powerful. And together with that, I'm saying, but I'm forgiving. I'm the most forgiving. Subhanallah, Al-Ghafoor. The one who oft forgives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us hope, and at the same time He is giving us a warning. So He's telling us why He made us, and He's telling us He wants to test us who from amongst us has better deeds or the best of deeds. And then He's saying, I want you to know at the same time, I can punish you. I am all powerful. But guess what? I am most merciful. My brothers and sisters, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Listen to that verse. He's mentioning the purpose of creation. And with that, He is telling you and I that I am most forgiving. Subhanallah. What a gracious Lord. What a forgiving Lord you have, I have. Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Surah At-Tin, Allah says, I have created mankind in the best of postures. And I always say, when Allah says the best, and He uses the superlative, you need to understand it's a challenge. A challenge meaning, He is declaring to you that I created you in the best possible posture. It means, oh man, you will never ever come up. Nobody will ever come up with a better posture for mankind than what you actually have right now. Subhanallah. And I'm sure those of you who are familiar with some of my speeches, you may have heard me say that Try and think of your eyes in a different place, your nose in a different place, your lips in a different place, any organ or part of your body in a different place. Wallahi, you cannot. I mean, imagine blowing your nose from your belly button. It's unthinkable. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. Even your nails, if they were on the other side of your fingers, it would spoil everything. So Allah is telling you, look, what you have, challenge. There is nothing that can become better than that. And this is why when you have the robots of today, where has the final shape gotten to of the latest robots? Just like a human being. They've got two legs, they've got two hands, they've got like a face here with a little camera where the eyes are and so on. Why? Because they know that this is the posture, this is the ultimate posture. Allah tells you that, I've made you like this for a reason. You are higher than animals. Your brain, your understanding, you need to start asking questions. Every one of you. You know, some people say, okay, I'm a Muslim, I'm not allowed to ask questions. No, Allah is going to ask you about what He gave you, what He bestowed upon you, subhanallah. Allah is going to ask you, and therefore you need to ask the questions until you're satisfied. So how do I get the responses? Well, there are two things. Revelation will help you. And revelation will guide you. Yesterday I had a brother who was asking me about all the books, and how do I know, for example, that the Quran itself is over and above the other books of revelation. I said, brother, you read all these books, you will find distinctly that the Quran is different. Absolutely. If you're interested, you look at the way the books are written, and I have done this. You go back to the books like the Bible, the Torah, and so on, and you read them. And when you read them, come and read the Quran, and you see the way it is written. You will be able to see, you will be able to feel and tell, subhanallah, that this is heavenly, this is a divine book. This book is without any doubt, subhanallah, it is guidance for the believers. This is why Allah says, right at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, Alif Lam Mim. Thalikal kitabu la rayba fih, hudan lil muttaqin. Alif Lam Mim. Allah says, this book indeed, without doubt, in it there is guidance for those who believe. There is no doubt in it. There are two translations of it. One is, there is no doubt in the book. It is guidance for the believers. And the other translation is, no doubt, this book has in it guidance for the believers. Both translations are absolutely perfect. So Allah wants you to look into the book and look at what He's saying in the book. And the one who came with the book is Muhammad, peace be upon him. What he is asking of us is not to worship him, but to accept the message and to worship God alone. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ مِن رَّسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have never sent a messenger before you except that we have instructed him to tell his people to worship me alone, to worship Allah alone. That was the message given by every single messenger. If I were to get up in front of you and call you towards myself, I'm actually wrong. But if I were to call you towards He who made me, then I'm right. Because I'm going to be on earth for a short period of time. By the time I leave, I need to ask myself, have I utilized my time in the best possible way? It's like a football match, subhanallah. If you were to play a football game and you were to stand on the pitch and waste your time and look at the others, and you may lose the match. It's foolish. You need to keep running. You need to keep trying to score a goal until the whistle is blown. The same applies to every one of us. Keep trying. Keep trying to score goals every minute. Even if you've scored 15 goals, no problem. Keep trying until you have the maximum and the whistle is blown and you're so happy you've broken history. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deep understanding. Ameen. So, from the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave us alone. He explains, I have sent messengers to tell you many things. What are these things? The purpose of creation and the way you shall live with one another. So, there are matters of belief, and then there are matters of jurisprudence. There's something known as huququllah, which means the rights of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rights. He tells you that there are rights you owe me, and I will owe you too. The hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet asks, do you know what is the right of Allah over the human beings, or what is the right of the human beings over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And obviously he was inquisitive. He wanted to know, what are these rights? So what is the right of Allah over the humans, and what is the right of the human beings over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The first is what the human beings owe Allah. You know what they owe Allah? And this is the first divine right. Absolutely the first. To worship Allah alone. That's the right. Simple as that. Worship Allah alone. So where do I get that from? The Quran, the Bible, the Torah, the Psalms of David, known as Zabur, whatever other books have come, they've all agreed that you worship God alone, the Maker alone, alone. Including the Bible, surprisingly. You worship the Maker alone. Subhanallah. You don't worship anyone else. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says.
وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ
I have not created mankind or jinnkind except that they worship me. Except for them to worship me. Which means to follow the rules I've laid down, to stay away from the prohibitions, to do as much good as possible before they leave. And then they leave, they come back to me, and they will get the prize of what they worked towards. Some people might say, I don't want the prize, I don't need it. My brothers, my sisters, we desperately need that prize. Have you ever gone to bury someone? Have you ever witnessed people die? I'm sure we all know of someone, somehow, somewhere who's passed away. Where did they go? Well, they would be in the desperate need of the mercy of Allah. Such that when we use terminology in our languages, we say they are gone into the mercy of Allah. That's what we say. Where is this person? Oh, he passed away. He's gone into the mercy of Allah. In the Arabic language, they say, intaqala ila rahmatillah, which means he has crossed into the mercy of Allah. There is nothing. His deeds won't help him anymore. Only the deeds he's already packed away would help him. Once the whistle is blown, you can go to the goalpost and start scoring as many goals as you want. They will laugh at you. And you can say, yeah, it's over. The game is over. It's finished. You need to score while the game is on. So right now we're alive, we're breathing. The whistle, our whistles have not yet been blown. But if the angel who is tasked with blowing the trumpet of the day of judgment has already taken the trumpet right to his lips or is about to blow into it, what do you think about my own little trumpet and yours? Our own whistles, our death. Our death is such that wallahi man doesn't know if he's going to have the next heartbeat. It could stop. People have passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. So the divine rights speak about all these rights that explain why we are on earth. So you will notice that the first set of rights are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the hadith of Mu'adh. Hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, where it is explained quite clearly that, do you know the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we worship Him alone. So then what is the right of the human beings upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the right of the human beings upon Allah is not to punish those who have worshipped Him alone. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah's right that He has to fulfill regarding us is to honor the promise. This is why Allah says in the Quran, He uses the term in more than one place. كَانَ ذَلِكَ أَوْ Allah says, وَعْدًا مَسْئُولًا In a few places in the Quran, like Surah Al-Furqan, Allah says, when He speaks about heaven and hell and speaks about what He's going to give and so on, He says, this is a promise that you can ask about. If you get on the day of judgment and there are good deeds that you know they are there of yours, you can ask about them. Hey, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen that there's going to be no injustice, but if they were, you would have the right to ask, I did these deeds, where are they? They might explain to you, well, you did the good deeds, but you did other bad deeds against fellow human beings, so these good deeds were taken as payment to be given to someone else. That's an explanation, but you had the right to ask. Why? Because that's why you lived. I mean, when you feel you've been shortchanged in an examination, you have the right to ask for a remark. In some places they say, if we remark it and we find that nothing was wrong with our marking, we're going to deduct 10 marks. You wasted our time. And some places, they will give you the mark. And they'll say, no, you were right, we were wrong. Subhanallah. What we need to understand and realize is with Allah, there is no injustice. There will never be reason to question Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the criminal will want to question because he's going to think he was shortchanged. Subhanallah. He's going to think that this is, you know, perhaps unfair, yet it will never, never, ever be unfair. And this is why those who have done wrong, if they were truthful in this world, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they get to the hereafter, they will actually be saved by their truthfulness. There will be a man, and it's a hadith known as a hadith al-bitaqa, the hadith of the card. A man who will have bad deeds in 99 files recorded, each file from the east to the west, and they will be brought in front, and he will just be there like helpless. And suddenly a card will drop out of it where he uttered the shahada, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once, truly, properly in his life. And it will come out of there, and that will be placed on the scale, and the bad deeds will be placed on the left side of the scale. And when the deeds are weighed, that one shahada will be heavier on the scales than the 99 files, each file from the east to the west filled with sin. And the person would have been asked, do you deny these bad deeds, before the card comes out? And he will say, no, Ya Allah, these are my bad deeds. I did bad and I've done bad. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, one of the conditions of acceptance of repentance is that you admit your sin to Allah. Many people admit it to their husbands or wives. You know, I need forgiveness from Allah, so I'm just confessing to you. Who said you need to do that? Is your husband Allah? Is your wife Allah? You don't need to do that. Don't be mistaken. You confess to Allah alone. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beauty of Islam. My forgiveness and yours is not connected to another human being unless I've wronged them. Otherwise, it's connected to Allah. If I missed my salah, I'm not going to say I drank alcohol because I didn't. But if someone drank alcohol, if someone was gambling and so on, they need to seek forgiveness from Allah, and Allah will forgive them, because shaitan has two plans. One is he makes you commit the sin, and two is he makes you doubt the forgiveness of Allah, which is a bigger crime than the sin itself. Because if a person drank alcohol or committed adultery, for example, that's a major sin, okay? They committed it against themselves. But when they start feeling, after seeking forgiveness, that Allah did not forgive me, they are insulting Allah and negating a verse of the Quran where Allah says, never lose hope in my mercy. Shaitan has trapped you into believing that Allah will not have mercy on you. How? This is one of the divine rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to ask Him, oh Allah, you told us you were forgiving. You were most forgiving. I sought forgiveness. I was genuine, oh Allah. This is the forgiveness I asked you. I told you. I admitted my sin. I regretted it. I repented. I promised not to do it again. Allah will say, my worshipper, I forgave you. At-taibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lah. The one who sought forgiveness from sin is equivalent to he or she who did not commit the sin at all. What a merciful Lord. It is an honor to be serving this Lord who is filled with mercy. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So my brothers and sisters, don't forget two traps of shaitan. One, he makes you sin. And two is, when you are now repenting, he makes you think your repentance is not good enough. Ask Allah's forgiveness. Be happy with the fact that you've been forgiven. It's over. Forget about it. Move on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, grant us the ability to move on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us so many things in the Quran. When he says, I've created mankind and jinnkind to worship me, he is referring to the holistic picture of fulfilling the rights of every creature of his, and starting with fulfilling the rights of the maker himself. So I said the first right was to worship him alone. The second right, and it's not in the exact order, but the second important thing is to show gratitude to your maker. A shukr is one of the rights that you owe Allah, and I owe him. You need to thank him for guiding you. You need to thank him for answering your dua. You need to thank him for creating you and giving you the opportunity to worship him. You need to thank him for the goodness that came in your life because it brought you closer to him. You need to thank him for the bad that came into your life because it also should bring you closer to him. You might wonder how. And I've explained this, I'm saying it again. When something bad happens to us, it draws us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as believers, we start praying to Him. You've been diagnosed with a disease, may Allah grant shifa to all those who are sick and ill. You suffered a loss, a robbery happened, someone died, limb broken, something went wrong. What happens? You turn to Allah, oh Allah, help me, oh Allah, you make tahajjud, you make salah, you ask Allah, what happened? You became softened, Allah made you softened, Allah blessed you by giving you something great. So you thank Allah, oh Allah, you brought me closer to you through hardship. Hardship is what brings us closer to Allah if we are believers. Especially that where you feel, I cannot do much about this. You were unfairly accused. What happens? You turn to the sajjada. The other day someone asked me, saying, you know, if someone has done black magic on me, can I break relations with them? And I said, who did black magic on you? And they said, a family member or someone they live with. And I said, how do you know? And they said, the reason is, the person we went to for ruqya told us who it was. And I said, they are lying. Well, how do you know that they are lying? I said, because no one knows the unseen besides Allah. And for that to have come to us, we would need revelation. And so how does this person give the name? And how do they know all the detail? They are communicating with your qareen or with the jinn. That's it. And that's haram. So what the jinn does is, the jinn lies to this person who might be, you know, supposedly pious and so on. But we all get trapped, don't we? No matter how pious you are, you can get trapped by the devil. The quicker you realize that, the closer you become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the jinn tells the person that this is the name of someone who did magic on X, Y or Z, and they tell you this, you need to know the aim of the shaitan is to break families, is to break strong relations. And you know that there is always some form of animosity if there is an extended home. There is always some little, you know, squabbles that you may be having, which is normal. It's part of your test. If you were to believe someone who claims to know the unseen, you've just insulted Allah. Because one of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. There is none like unto Allah. No similarity in his names and qualities on that level. So you might have, like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything he knew of the unseen was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's Allah who is Allamul Ghuyub, who informed his prophets, the highest of rank being Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there were so many things that he told us about that were unseen. Revelation, it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the knowledge of the unseen known by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the degree of what was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's something very intricate. It's something very tricky, if I can word it that way. We believe it because we know revelation came to him when he told us that this is behind the wall. It is definitely behind the wall. One of the rights of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we owe him is to believe him. At-tasdiq. I believe. This is why Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back from Mi'raj, the Quraysh were trying to create doubt in the hearts of the believers. They went to Abu Bakr and they said, if a man claims to have gone to Baytul Maqdis and up into the heavens and come down and did this and did that, what would you believe? And obviously they wanted him to say no. When he found out that it was actually Muhammad who said this, he said, if he is saying this, I believe it. Subhanallah, he became known as As-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu wa arda, the best of humankind to tread the earth after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Uthman radiyallahu anhu, also known as Abu Bakr As-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all the companions and be pleased with them. Ameen. And bless us all and be pleased with us too. Ameen. So my brothers and sisters, it's important for us to know that we need to thank Allah. A shukr is shown by tongue. I thank you, O Allah. I appreciate. I laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah. We are engaged in the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the primary ways of thanking Allah. I'm thanking him for something. I've said subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times or 33, and capped it with la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And I can add whatever I'm taught by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so many different adhkar, so many different ways of remembering subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim.
سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته. These are words of praise of Allah. Not only should you be uttering them in the Arabic language, but you should be knowing the meanings of it, because to go into the meanings of it is part of gratitude to Allah, and that is one of the rights that you owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is amazing, to thank Allah through your tongue, but that's not enough. Together with that, you need to fulfill instructions. I need to fulfill my salah. What's the point of saying, oh Allah, I thank you for giving me this day and I'm looking forward to tomorrow. And then you go to sleep and you wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning when the sun shines and you say, oh Allah, I thank you for giving me the new day. What happened to Salatul Fajr, by the way? What happened to Salatul Fajr, by the way? You're thanking Allah and you didn't even think of your morning prayer? That's an insult to Allah. So even if you may have slackened slightly, let's not do that. But if you have been guilty not to have uttered words, show it through your actions, because they speak louder than words. Remember that. In the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both hold value. But there needs to be something known as tatabuq. Tatabuq means there needs to be similarity, or there needs to be uniformity in what you're saying and what you're doing. Don't be a person who says one thing and he's doing another thing. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Reminder in Surah Al-Saff, Allah says, oh you who believe, why do you say that which you don't do? It's just a reminder to say, remember, there needs to be uniformity in your statements and your actions. Many preachers come and they preach, and in their real lives, they are far from it. The value drops. Because why? The man is leading a life of whatever, a gangster. And he comes and starts preaching regarding Allah. So who would be more effective would be one who tries his best to practice what he preaches. This is why Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Are you ordering people to do good, yet you're forgetting about yourselves? While you are reading revelation, don't you have the mind? Don't you have an understanding? So Allah is reminding us, when you talk to people, remember. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy upon us. So we owe thanks to Allah through obeying His instruction. We owe thanks to Allah through abstaining from prohibition. We owe thanks to Allah through seeking forgiveness wherever we have faltered. That is, these are some of the divine rights owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter we have the rights, also divine, laid by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the messengers of Allah. Primarily Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because we are part of his ummah. We are part of his ummah, subhanallah. So you have all the messengers that have come down. You have Musa alayhi salam, you have Isa alayhi salam, you have Harun, you have who was with Musa alayhi salam, Sulaiman, Dawood, may Allah be pleased with them, Solomon and David. If I can say it in the English language, starting from Adam, may Allah be pleased with him, may Allah have mercy on him. Going all the way down to Noah, to Lot, to Isaac, to Ishmael, to Ibrahim before them, and Joseph, Jacob, and all of these, may Allah be pleased with every one of them. Jesus, may peace be upon him. All of them were messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They came with a message, or they confirmed the message that was revealed to a previous prophet. And even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came in, subhanallah, what did he give us? He gave us imaniyat. Imaniyat meaning matters of belief. Did you know, from the beginning of time to the end, the matters of belief never changed. They were the same. So when the verses say that all the messengers came with the same message, it's talking of belief. So what are the pillars of belief? Let me explain. I'm sure we would all know. When we say amantu billah wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rusuli wal yawm al akhir wal qadr khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala wal ba'th. These matters were all the same from the beginning to the end. Every nabi taught the same iman. They all taught Allah is one. They all taught that there are messengers, there are books, there are angels, there is the last day, there is good and bad fate that comes from Allah. All of them taught the same. That didn't change. What changed was how to believe Allah and what's allowed and what's disallowed, known as the Islam of it. So how to pray is different from the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, and so on. Although they are all Semitic religions, they were prophets who taught that. But it's different. What is halal and haram, as time passed, it was changed in the various revelation. To come as a completion, you and I know that perhaps a long time ago, there may have been different situations, different scenarios. Today we have technology that is so advanced. Remember, when Allah has stipulated something, we need to believe that that is the best, one of the rights of Allah. One of the duties that we owe to Allah is to believe that when He has stipulated something, it's the best. Whether you understand it now or later, or you wouldn't, or you don't, you still need to believe, you know what, that's the best. And you might want to keep on asking people, why is this the best? Why is that the best? How come this? How come that? It's not wrong to ask. You need to know the answers. You might want to know, why does a woman get a smaller share? Why does a woman have to cover this? Why is a woman this and that? Those are questions people ask today. They are valid. There are answers for all of those. You need to keep on asking. Don't be shy. You may not receive an answer that is satisfactory to you. So keep on asking until you are satisfied. And ultimately, remember, you need to be guided by revelation. So, going back to the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to love him. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لي حتى لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين. Amazing hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, none of you can be considered true Muslim, true believers, unless and until I am loved to you more than yourself, your parents, your children, and all the people. So if you call yourself a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you love him. Absolutely love him. And that love is shown, yes, you declare it as well. I love him. You can say it, you can show it, display it verbally. But more than that is to obey the instruction. What's the point of telling your dad, Dad, I love you? And dad says, please get me some water from the fridge. You say, I'm not interested. I mean, what happened? I thought you loved me. You couldn't do even a small thing for me. When it comes to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a matter of revelation. We love him. We will endeavor to adopt what he said. Subhanallah, if he said something, you owe it. That's it. Otherwise, why call yourself a Muslim? Why? This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when you're a true believer, you will love me. And this love will be manifest in your character, in your conduct. And we're going to get to that just now. So the Prophet ﷺ, we believe. That's one of the duties towards him. We love. We follow. We send blessings and salutations upon him as a duty whenever his name is mentioned. So if someone says Muhammad, you are not allowed to say the name referring to the messenger without peace be upon him. You would actually be guilty. Guilty of a form of disrespect. May Allah forgive us. So whenever you hear Muhammad say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and guess what? When you say may peace be upon him, Allah sends blessings upon you 10 times as a result of that one statement, because Allah loves him more than you and I. Amazing. Amazing. You say you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, Allah loves him more than you and I. That's why Allah made him the best of creation, the most noble of prophets. He was chosen. So let's continue. To learn what he brought, to adopt what he taught, to abstain from what he prohibited sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to believe what he taught, what he prophesied, what he said. All this part of the rights of Allah, of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is owed. That he is owed. Let's move on. There are divine rights connected to the family unit. We may hear about some of these in the next 2 days. The family unit was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, chosen by Allah. You, your parents, my parents, Allah chose them. They did not choose their children, nor did you choose your parents. Allah chose them. It's divine. So there are rights. You fulfill. What needs to happen? Your parents, you love them. They should love you too. If a parent is a non-Muslim, I love my parent. I may not like the kufr that they may be participating in, like a Muslim parent who drinks alcohol, commits adultery, so on. I don't like the action, but that's my father. I love him. He's my dad. The Prophet ﷺ loved his uncle, that he was not a Muslim, but he didn't like the kufr in that man. But he loved the man for many other reasons, being him being the uncle and him having offered a lot of protection to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to the Muslims in the early stages. Abu Talib, we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam really desperately tried to deliver the message to him in particular out of love. And this is why the rest of humanity as well, we need to have such love for them that is translated as concern. When you love someone, you're concerned. I mean, if you're walking on the street, and I always tell this to my children, when I correct them, and I say, you know what? This is right, this is wrong, and please don't do this in a nice way. And I say, look, I love you, that's why I'm telling it to you. You would not notice me telling people on the street, not because I don't love them, but it's the level of love. It starts at home. Charity begins at home. That's why I'm telling it. When you're concerned about someone, if you see someone trying to harm them, you will quickly rush to their assistance. I promise you, to humanity at large, I'm not talking of the Muslims here. I'm talking of non-Muslims as well. Humanity at large, we need to have a minimum concern of, subhanAllah, not wishing evil for them, helping them, reaching out to them, being able to be of use and collectively fulfill the matters of society and community, such as security and so on. We need to do this collectively. If we're not collective in it, it's not going to happen. This is why in Medina Munawwara, there were Jews and Christians towards the end of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They lived in harmony with the Muslimin, fulfilling each other's rights. They fulfilled each other's rights. They did business with each other. They were honest with each other. But they were not Muslim. They were not Muslim. And this is why we want to dispel the myth that the non-Muslims, you're not even allowed to look at them. You're not even allowed to deal with them. Sometimes, unfortunately or fortunately, they are more honest in their dealings than born Muslims. I'm sure you may have seen this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. What an insult it is to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So going back to the family unit, there should be love within the family. And I told you, love does not necessarily translate in the same way all the time. Because there may be certain things you don't like in the person in terms of qualities, in terms of habits, in terms of things they do. But otherwise, they're connected to you with blood. You love them. That's my child. That's my father. No matter what, he's my father. He might be a sinful man, but I love him. I don't like what he's done. So that love will make me help him as best as I can. Let's move on. Parents need to have mercy on their children. The same applies to the older people. Have mercy on the younger. We have divine rights where if Allah made you born, if Allah created you prior to someone else, they owe respect to you. I need to respect the elderly. If I'm sitting and there is an older person, it is the right of that older person that I get up and offer them my seat. That is a courtesy that we are taught. To have respect for the adults. But the adults also need to have mercy on the young ones. Subhanallah. When you correct them with love and respect. These are rights. Because it's the duty of the older generation to pass the torch on to the next generation. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah to the angels that I am making this, I'm creating a vicegerent on earth. I'm actually creating human being, those who will follow one after the other. One generation will pass the torch to the next and so on. So it's our duty to pass it on to the next generation. Similarly, when it comes to the mu'mineen and the believers, the hadith describes us as a wall or a building. Each brick is supported by the other. The brick that's at the top of the wall would never be there unless there were bricks underneath it. Amazing. This is why even a leader, we have rights towards leaders. We have rights, the leaders have rights towards the led. Without those who are the bricks on the wall, there wouldn't be one at the top. But because they are strong, the leader is strong, solid. If that wall is wobbly, the first thing to drop would be the top. Subhanallah, it's amazing how this example is. The Prophet ﷺ speaks of the mu'mineen. He says, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادُّهِمْ وَتَرَحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ كَمَثَلِ الْجَسَدِ الْوَاحِدِ. In one example, he gives the similarity of a single body. If there is a pain in one part of the body, the rest of the body feels uneasy and may suffer with fever and insomnia. That's because you're part of one body. So it means we need to help one another, reach out to one another, care for one another, love one another, love for one another, what you love for yourself. And that goes back to this hadith that I was mentioning earlier when I almost said the one narration instead of the other. Now I can mention the other one. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you are true believers until you love for your brothers what you love for yourself. I love for you what I love for myself. I wouldn't want harm to reach you that I wouldn't like to reach me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. My brothers and sisters, so in this way there are so many rights. There are divine rights towards the believers connected to your tongue. The hadith says, a true Muslim is he or she whom all the others are safeguarded from the evil of their tongue or their hand. No verbal abuse, no physical abuse. That's a right of everyone else over me. But it's happening in our own homes. We abuse our spouses, our children, and so on, and we claim to be Muslimin. I think we can do better, inshallah. Let's mark the way we talk by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, to help to be able to be genuine towards all these our duties and rights, it goes well beyond this to the neighbor. To the neighbor. Your neighbor has right. Today, you're seated. The person next to you is your neighbor. You need to greet them. You need to make them feel warm, welcome, at least with a bit of a smile, and so on. I don't think a lot of us do this. You see a reverted to Islam, you don't want to greet them. You see someone, maybe their head is not covered properly, maybe a guy with tight jeans and so on, you don't want to greet him. Why? Maybe according to you, something, but that's wrong. You have to, that's your neighbor. Acknowledge them, make them feel comfortable. Do we do that? Changing today. This conference needs to be such, and we from today on need to be such that those around us feel very welcome. They feel so comfortable. They feel loved. They feel like we all care for each other. That's how it should be. Even if they're non-Muslims on a bus or a train or anywhere else. Not just your home. When we say your neighbor, many people think that it's connected to your house. If I'm living on number 50, the person on 49, and in some countries they go in twos, so the 48. That's my neighbor. That's not your only neighbor. Your neighbor is even the man who's reading salah next to you in the masjid. You have to make sure you don't smell, because you don't want someone to say, no. You need to make sure that you've washed your mouth. It shouldn't be, wallahi, the hadith says, it shouldn't be smelling of fresh onions or garlic or something, where when you say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil, the man says, oh, what happened there, man? It shouldn't be the case. You wash your mouth, you put on a little bit of some good scent and so on. When you talk to people, you know, they feel easy. It's beautiful. I want to go to the masjid. It's comfortable. Those are the rights that we need to fulfill. Then to respond to the greeting, someone greets you, you respond to that greeting. Someone sneezes. How you should respond, inshallah, I'm going to be discussing this perhaps tomorrow in detail. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sick and the ill and the rights they have, when a person passes away, those rights, these are all part of the divine rights. My time is up. But it's a right that I close for these, the rest of the speakers, inshallah. If I were to continue, I'd be eating into somebody else's time, and that's wrong of me. So inshallah, it was an introduction. That was my task today. I hope I've introduced the topics, and I hope I've given you a gist of what we're going to be discussing in the next 2 days by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive us all. My brothers and sisters, I am just a brother of yours, and I really do feel the bond. I really am honored to be here in this beautiful city, in this beautiful hall, with all these wonderful brothers and sisters of mine. May Allah bless you all. Jazakumullah khair. Aqulu qawli hadha wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.